is it has to be face-to-face or voice-to-voice contact. Hi. So there you go. That's, we've fulfilled the first criteria. Having said that, I think that there is a movement towards this idea of online emotional labour. And of course, the move in terms of the pandemic, that's quite an interesting area to start looking at. Online tutoring has been recently researched. And so there is the idea that it doesn't necessarily have to be face-to-face or voice-to-voice, but there has to be some kind of connection there. So it's something that we're looking at in the future. The second one is that basically you have to try and manage emotion. So you have to you're trying to basically affect the emotion in other people. And part of that would be your own management of emotion. So you manage them and you manage yourself. And the third one, which is the one that tends to be messed about with the most, I suppose, if you want to put it that way, is that there has to be control of that by the employer. So the employer has to have control over the emotion that you use. Now, in the olden days, in the 1980s, it was very much scripted. It was service industry. So you know, the service with a smile. There was a handbook, and they told you exactly what emotion you would present to the person, and how you would do it, actually, not just what you would show. And so you can imagine all these air stewardesses at this airline are being told exactly what to do and how to do it. And that was very prescriptive. Obviously, we've moved on from there now, and there is the understanding that there is autonomy in the way that people do emotion, the emotion that they perform. And of course, I would say that probation is one of those examples. You are expected to do it, but the way that you do it is kind of to do with the fact that you are autonomous in your job, and there are certain sort of guidelines, but you do it how you feel. People say that unscripted emotional labour actually is really quite difficult, really. That, you know, it's about understanding and knowing what to do and what not to do and how not to do things. And that really is about experience, I think. And that's what we kind of have come across quite a bit, about people sort of saying, well, I do this, but I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do, but it seems to get results, if you know what I mean. People react to me in a particular way. So they're the three things that you need. And then there is how you do it. So how you do it is basically, there's sort of three or four different ways. So hopefully these might resonate with you. So the first way is surface acting. So basically you act, but you don't feel the same way. So when I'm smiling at my children, trying to get them to eat their dinner, and I don't feel that way inside, that's surface acting. But that's not necessarily emotional labor, because I don't get paid for it. So that's surface acting. Then there's deep acting. Deep acting is basically trying to make the emotion and the display marry together. So you can do that by trained imagination. So a bit like method acting. So you're trying to think of an event that would create that emotion within you. So your emotion and your display actually match. So that's a deep acting. That takes more work, but there is discussion about the consequences of that for the person and how that actually can sometimes make it a bit easier when they do that. It can obviously also make you go maybe too much into the role as well. So it has its, you know, each one has its positives and negatives. With surface acting, you sometimes get emotional dissonance. So you don't feel the way that you act, and therefore you get this kind of like real negative feeling inside, because you're like, well, I'm faking it, I don't feel that way about that person, and I'm having to, you know, I can imagine the air stewardesses probably felt similar in that way sometimes when they did their jobs. The other way is one which Hochschild didn't actually mention. It's a different research as Ashford and Humphrey, and that is called genuine emotion response. So that sort of does what it says on the tin. You feel the way that you act, you feel the way that you display. However, it is argued, and I would agree with this, that when you do genuine emotion, you still have to do emotional labor, because even if you're happy for the person that's telling you the positive thing, there are still boundaries, and there are still things that you know you wouldn't necessarily with a client go give them a big hug and say well done. It depends on the situation, but you have to still maintain a particular way of acting. So you are happy for them, but equally there is sort of other things that have to be taken into account. So that's a genuine emotion. There is a fourth one called detachment, which has been used to keep professionalism, but I think I'll leave that one because that's only been done with lawyers really, and not probation officers per se, or the other areas. So then there are consequences, and I've already mentioned a few. So there are positive consequences and negative consequences of doing emotional labor, and the positive consequences often are that you feel that you get the task done well, that you do a good job, that you, a lot of people who do emotional labor are actually really good at it, and so they feel very positive and they go into that work because they have to do emotional labor because they really enjoy it and they're good at it, and that's something that we really need to obviously promote. Negative consequences are quite prolific though. Emotional exhaustion, depression, quite a few negative ones that can happen. And I think that's why we try to make organisations aware of emotional labour, because we want to ameliorate those negative consequences. One way of ameliorating those consequences is by communities of coping, so that kind of thing. But obviously, we've been trying to promote the awareness of emotion and emotional labour in probation practice, so that the organisation recognises it, stops marginalising emotion, and basically sort of takes it in and gives people support. You know, a lot of things like my brain has now stopped working. Supervision, sort of, you know, support in that way, counseling services, practice, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of emotional labor. We have done research on work-life spillover and all that kind of stuff again, so we can talk about things like that, which is not strictly emotional labor, but I'll stop now because I know that I've spent about 12 minutes, woohoo, and I have talked quite fast. I do talk fast, I get quite passionate. So if you want me to reiterate something or you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, then please ask me and I'll kind of say it again, because I know that I've just rambled a little bit. I'll throw it open and see what people, maybe if you want examples of the emotional labor you think you do, or how it's been, you know, how it's been in the last few weeks. But anyway, I'm going to stop.
Thanks, Shallon. And thank you, everybody. I know we've had a few more people joining us during that presentation. So just a little reminder to everyone, please keep your microphone on mute while you're not speaking. If you want to speak, use the blue raise hand button, which you'll find on the participant panel, and that will let me know that you want to speak. And if you can't find that, you can usually find it quite easily by just clicking on participants, and it's at the bottom of the pane there. But if you can't find that, use the chat function to let me know that you want to come in on something. And those of you that have joined on the phone, you will just need to keep your phone on mute, please, while you're not speaking. But if you want to come in, wait for a pause in between people, and then just let me know that you want to come in. So there's a couple of people that have joined during that presentation, and I've just muted you as you came in, so as not to disturb Shallon while she was speaking. I know there's going to be a lot of people wanting to contribute, so I will do my very best to make sure that everybody gets a chance. There's quite a lot of us in the call, so what I'm going to do is to take questions first, and then take contributions, if that's okay. So questions first, if you've got a question about anything that Shallon has brought up, if there's anything you'd like her to clarify or repeat, then we'll take those first. So I've got Anne Burrell, please.
That was really interesting. And one of the things that I feel, I'm a PTA, working with training probation officers, and at the moment, as well as seeing people one-to-one, we're being encouraged to work with small groups informally, because this recognition that working from home for people who aren't yet qualified and who are relatively experienced is likely to have a disproportionate impact. And this is very timely because I had a session with some of them this morning that was quite worrying in terms of their emotional well-being.